city of Harrisburg is about to find out what it means to go bankrupt.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania will officially file for municipal bankruptcy. The city council last night narrowly voted to seek Chapter 9 protection. Now, the city's buried in at least $300 million worth of debt from a trash incinerator project. David Skeel is with the University of Pennsylvania Law School in Philadelphia. David, good morning.
Good morning.
What does it mean for a city to go bankrupt?
Well, the first thing it means is that you've hit some insurmountable obstacle and you've concluded that there is no other way to work things out. In some respects, it means business as usual. The city will continue to negotiate over the terms of a restructuring. Most city functions won't be affected, but it does throw them into a completely different world.
What does it say, David, about the economic climate right now in this country?
Well, it says that it's a real mess. In the past, it's been very rare for a city of any size to file for Chapter 9. The fact that Harrisburg has filed, a number of cities and counties are thinking about it seriously, means we are a long ways from being out of the woods.
Well, that was my next question. Should we expect to see more cities going this route?
I absolutely do think we will, for two reasons. The first is the economic climate that you've just alluded to. It's a mess out here and out there. The other factor is what happens with the Chapter 9 cases we already have. We have a number of cases over the last year or so, including one recently in Rhode Island, in addition to Harrisburg. If Chapter 9 seems to work, if it seems to provide a way to restructure some of these obligations and get a city's finances in order, I think we could see a lot more filings.
All right. David Skeel from the University of Pennsylvania. David, thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. Well, markets are higher right now at the moment. The Dow is up 119 points at 11,535. The NASDAQ and S&P each up about 1.3%. Chrysler has reached a tentative deal with the United Auto Workers Union for a new contract, the last of the big three to finish negotiating. Now the rank and file will get to vote on the deal. Markets in Europe finished the day higher, as the European Commission president said today banks there should temporarily raise more capital reserves to withstand the debt crisis. A staggering 80% of American manufacturers are having trouble finding skilled workers. That's the news from the Manufacturing Institute's latest skills gap study. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner talked to one manufacturer who's trying to tackle that talent shortage on his own.
Jeff Kelly is CEO of Hamel Manufacturing in Trafford, Pennsylvania. His dad started the company in 1952, machining and welding metal parts, mostly for Navy submarines and aircraft carriers.
We actually started with the Nautilus, which was the very first nuclear submarine.
Kelly's company still makes parts for Navy ships. He employs about 130 people, but his baby boomer employees are retiring, and he can't find enough workers to take their place. Manufacturing, Kelly says, has an image problem.
Dull, unexciting, boring, maybe difficult.
Dirty and dangerous, too. But nowadays, this ain't your grandfather's factory, Kelly says. Most manufacturing floors are small, clean, and computerized. Kelly tells kids that when he scours local high schools for future employees.
We start looking at kids when they're in the ninth grade. We talk to the teachers, and we find out who's a potential young person that would come into our business.
For Kelly's company, that means kids who aced trigonometry and have good spatial acuity and mechanical skills. Emily DeRocco, president of the Manufacturing Institute, argues this talent shortage has serious implications.
We cannot sustain as a nation a strong economy if we don't continue to be a nation that makes things.
CEO Jeff Kelly is training 10 young apprentices right now, a refreshing addition to his aging workforce. The average age in manufacturing? Around 45. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
Apple is expected to launch its new iCloud today, making it the next big player in the rapidly growing cloud computing market. But what exactly does that mean? Marketplace's Adrian Hill explains.
The cloud, at its most basic, is a bunch of servers storing data and providing services, all accessible whenever you're online. Eric Gilbert is a professor at Georgia Tech.
You know, if you're talking about the consumer-facing side of it, you're really talking about your data live on the internet instead of on your device.
Lots of us already use the cloud every day. Gmail and Yahoo Mail, that's the cloud. iCloud will store your photos, music, and documents and share them between your computers and phone. But what's in it for companies providing space and software to do these things? For one,
they actually make money at it.
Randall Bryant is the dean of the School of Computer Science at Carnegie Mellon University. Another advantage for companies?
When you park it at one company, it can be hard then to move it to a different company. And so you get sort of locked into a particular brand, and that company may or may not continue to serve your needs.
There's some hand-wringing around cloud-based computing and security. But Bryant thinks big companies will do a better job of it than a lot of us do on our own. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, a new study that appears in the magazine Good says having a tree can yield a lot more green in your wallet. A couple of researchers looked at Craigslist apartment ads in Portland, Oregon, and compared them with Google Earth tree data. Now, what they found was that if you're a landlord, a tree on your property translates to more than $5 more a month in rent. A tree on your property near the street curb gets an extra $21 a month. The study was done for the Pacific Northwest Research Station, and even though that's a part of the U.S. Forest Service, they say their research isn't at all shady. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Anopheles finestis, a humble mosquito, the most efficient and costly carrier of malaria that there is.
Malaria consistently costs the subcontinent of Africa over $40 billion a year because one out of four members of the workforce is absent due to malaria.
I'm Kai Rizdal, changing the world one dead mosquito at a time. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.